Breakfast Ben's podcast, looking at the Jets-Steelers some more. We had Rich Cimini on the podcast earlier in the week. He works for ESPN.com covering the Jets. Now Zach Rosenblatt joins us. He was on with me as I filled in for Mark Madden on 105.9 The X earlier in the week on Tuesday afternoon as we were getting word that Zach Wilson was going to be the starting quarterback for the Jets. And that turned out to be the case. It was announced by the Jets a couple days later, officially replacing Joe Flacco, who had started the season in a backup capacity because Wilson was number one on the depth chart, being drafted number two overall last year. But Wilson got hurt, injuring a knee in the preseason. So Flacco began the year as the Jets' starting quarterback to open the regular season. 1-2 so far for New York. The big comeback against Cleveland and two losses during the other 2 weeks of the year, including one most recently to the Bengals, who won on Thursday night against the Dolphins. My conversation with Zach started off looking at the quarterback situation and what to expect from Zach Wilson and what his development has been like since being drafted second overall from BYU a year ago.
Yeah, that's the hard part, because it seemed like he was finally getting into a groove in training camp, and then he comes out in that preseason game against the Eagles. His first series was bad. I don't really put much weight in that because it was his first series of the year. And then he comes out the next series and gets injured on non-contact injury. And from there, you know, he missed all, you know, the rest of training camp. He missed joint practices, the rest of the preseason, the first 3 weeks of the season. He's only really going to start practicing in team drills this week. So I can't see any scenario where he's not rusty. And, you know, that's really hurtful for his development, considering, you know, there's all these new pieces on the offense. His offensive line's in disarray. And so it's going to be very interesting to see how he handles it, because he hasn't really gotten the reps. So I imagine he's going to be rusty, and they can't really afford him to be rusty. They can't afford to lose this game on Sunday. So it could be bad for his development, but if the talent shines through and he's the guy that they thought he was, then that won't matter.
I agree with a lot of that, Zach, and I was talking about it earlier. And, you know, I know that the Jets have their own game plan, agenda, development for Wilson for sure, and that probably should outweigh everything. But for this one singular game, I was almost wondering, because Flacco has at least had some success in this city, in this stadium, would they be wise to stick with Flacco for one more week and give Wilson some more time? But I get they're sticking with their own greater picture. Where do you think their balance is in that analysis?
Yeah, I think the thing that Saleh's been saying is that they need to rip the Band-Aid off of Zach. They can't, you know, kowtow it. They need to just put him out there when he's 100% and ready to go. And I get the sense that he's going to be that. They were waiting for clearance from a doctor in L.A. I think they either got it or are going to get it at some point between now and tomorrow. And on top of that, you know, I don't think Joe Flacco has looked especially good. He was impressive in that comeback win against the Browns, but otherwise he's looked kind of like the Joe Flacco of the last few years. And so especially with, you know, their offensive line, they have a really bad situation at left tackle right now. Whoever is going to be playing quarterback is going to be running for their life, and I don't think Joe Flacco can run for anything right now. So Zach Wilson has the mobility to at least get out of the pocket. He didn't really do great against pressure last year, so I imagine the Steelers are going to dial up some exotic pressures and to try and confuse them and get them uncomfortable. But I think they think it's time for Zach, and they feel like this is the week.
Zach Rosenblatt covers the Jets for The Athletic. He is our guest on 105.9 The X. You led me into my very next question, Zach, and that was about the left tackle situation. What describe to us where they are in the depth chart right now with that situation.
Oh, man. So just to break it down as fast as I can, they opened training camp with George Fant at left tackle, Mekhi Becton at right tackle. Mekhi Becton hurts his knee, out for the year. George Fant moves to right tackle. They sign Dwayne Brown to plug in at left tackle. They get to right before week one. Dwayne Brown hurts his shoulder in practice. Dwayne Brown goes to injured reserve. George Fant back to left tackle. Rookie Matt Mitchell to right tackle. George Fant, who's been dealing with his knee injury from last year all offseason, hurts it again on Sunday. He goes to injured reserve, so now he's out. And so now they're going to be playing a guy named Connor McDermott, who fans are pretty upset they have to play because he's not particularly good. He's probably going to be the starter this week. And they signed a couple veterans in the last couple of days. I can't imagine they'd be ready to play right away. They might have to. But, yeah, so it's not exactly a position you want. You know, I'll just say that the Jets are thankful that T.J. Watt is not playing in this game.
Yeah, well, Watt would largely be on the other side, probably. You're saying it's their left tackle, so that's where Alex Highsmith has been. But Alex Highsmith's been good, too. He's leading the NFL in sacks, and Cam Hayward's on that side as well. So, yeah, it sounds like that's still going to be an issue for Wilson. So I guess to your point, his knee better be healthy, right?
Yeah. And even to your point, if Watt was out there, you know, they'd probably be double-teaming him, and then that would be pulling away extra bodies that they're going to need on the left side this week. So, yeah, so their best case scenario in terms of, like, how Zach looks on Sunday is probably just that he comes out of there alive at this point.
With Hall and Carter, how's the run game been?
Yeah, you know, I know fans have been frustrated because the Jets have thrown the ball more than any team in the NFL, and it's, like, not even close. And so – even when, you know, Breece Hall has shown some flashes, Michael Carter is a really tough runner. I think that's one of the better running back duos in the league. But they really have been getting away from the run way too much. By the time the third quarter hits, they're trailing, and they decide to just go all in on passing, and it's not, you know, particularly hard to stop at that point. So I think the running game has looked impressive, but they haven't really gotten the reps that you would want them to get. And I'm curious to see if they kind of change their game plan up a little bit this week with Zach there and try to get the run game going and stick with it, even if the Steelers go up by a touchdown or two early on.
Given the Steelers' offensive struggles, do you look at that matchup on that side of the ball and say the Jets are at least in better shape with their defense, or do they have enough defensive concerns that the Steelers should have an advantage there as well?
You know, if the Jets' defense, I've said since training camp, has the talent to be good. They've just been making a lot of mistakes. Their defensive line hasn't been getting enough pressure. Their safeties have been brutal. But their cornerbacks are both complete shutdown guys, Sauce Gardner, DJ Reed. They've looked really, really good. I think Quinton Williams up front has, you know, can play like a star, and he's looked like it at times. They need Carl Lawson to get going, and they need some of these other young guys on the D-line. And I feel like if it was ever going to happen, it has to be this week with a guy like Trubisky. You can force to make some mistakes, maybe more than you could with a Lamar Jackson or even Jacoby Brissett, who's pretty careful with the ball, or last week with Joe Burrow. But they weren't able to get to Joe Burrow, and that's one of the worst offensive lines in the league so far. So if they were ever going to have their defense step up, I think they believe they can do it this week. And if it doesn't happen this week, then this team's in a lot of trouble.
The explosion of the sidelines that we all saw with Quinton Williams and his defensive line coach, from what I understand, that was ostensibly an extension of what you just talked about, right? They decided to blitz in a situation that left the defensive backs exposed because of, like you were saying, there's not getting enough with their front four. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. So Quinton Williams was frustrated because he thought that the four-man rush was working better than when they were blitzing because the blitzes weren't being very effective. And he wound up being right because they stopped blitzing and then the D-line started playing a lot better. So there's probably something to that. This isn't a team that really has the personnel to blitz a lot. And that's why they're probably one of the teams that blitz the least in the NFL, especially with how bad the safeties have been and how bad they've been at tackling and you know, with miscommunications on the back end. If the defensive line can just get some pressure on Trubisky, that'll be a huge advantage in this game.
Finally, Zach, and again, Zach Rosenblatt's been our guest here covering the Jets for The Athletic. Sort of a big picture question about where the Jets as a franchise see themselves, where the fan base sees their team in the East right now, with obviously the Patriots now coming back to the pack some, but at the same time, the rest of the pack, meaning the Dolphins and Bills, taking off. How are Jets fans viewing this season in particular, where they stand in the AFC East?
You know, fans are very frustrated already with the 1-2 just because in two of those games they were already out of it in the fourth quarter. So I don't think the expectations are that this team's going to make the playoffs. I think the fan base wants the Jets to be competing in fourth quarters. They want them to still, like, have games that matter at the end of the year. And so far, two out of three games, they were already out of it in the fourth quarter. And they probably should have been out of it in the other one, but the Browns blew it. So I think the biggest thing is they just want this team to look like they are improving. And so far, they haven't really made strides week to week, and that's kind of a problem. And, you know, it doesn't reflect great on the coaching staff. So I think in the building, they believe they can turn the corner. The fans are less optimistic, and this is kind of the first week for them to really show what they're made of, I think.
How about you, Zach? Are you a believer that the Bills are the best team in the East? Are you a believer that the Dolphins, to start the year, are they a top wild card contender, if not as good as the Bills? What do you think about the teams on top of that division?
Yeah, I just think the Bills, I think, are the most talented team in the NFL. I don't think they have very many holes on that roster. I know they didn't look great against the Dolphins, but I think the Bills right now, you have to say, are the favorite. And even though the Dolphins are 3-0, the Dolphins have a lot of talent. It was ultimately all going to come down to what Tua was for them, and the fact that he's played pretty well so far.
All right, so my thanks to Zach Rosenblatt, and of course a lot of that has changed based on what happened to Tua getting a concussion and carted off the field against Cincinnati on Thursday night. We'll see what his health status is like and if he plays again this season, when he plays again this season, when he's allowed to play again this season. That conversation, I think, will go on for eternity, it feels like, after what happened on Thursday. But as for Sunday, it's Jets-Steelers, Acrisure Stadium. Be listening to the pregame show. I'll be on at 9 o'clock from Stage AE with Rob King and Dale Lally. And then we'll have play-by-play on DVE and ESPN Pittsburgh at 1 o'clock. I'll be back with the Mad Monday podcast on Monday. This is Breakfast with Benz.